Welcome to the second hour of Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM and Wave Farm Radio at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, taking you on a discovery of natural sound and environmental art. In the first hour of the show, we listened to some of the evening sounds of summer, including the chirps of crickets. Right now, we're listening to those same crickets, but they've had their voices manipulated using digital technology. Let's listen for a moment just for fun. Well, this summer broadcast is called Catch the Wave. So at the end of the first hour, we listened to a piece produced by Hildegard Westerkamp in 1989 called Kitts Beach Soundwalk. And I'd like to share a few excerpts from the bio on Ms. Westerkamp's website so that you can learn more about her. She is a musician and composer who joined the World Soundscape Project under the direction of R. Murray Schafer at Simon Fraser University in Vancouver, Canada, in the early 1970s. And Ms. Westerkamp's compositions focus on environmental sound and acoustic ecology, and her work has been performed and broadcast in many parts of the world. In addition to her electroacoustic compositions, she has created pieces for specific sites such as the Harbor Symphony. And she has composed for film soundtracks, sound documents for radio, and has produced and hosted radio programs such as Soundwalking and Musica Nova on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. I especially like this statement from her bio. By focusing the ear's attention to details, both familiar and foreign, in the acoustic environment, Westerkamp draws attention to the inner, hidden spaces of the environment we inhabit. And you can read more about Hildegard Westerkamp by visiting her webpage at Simon Fraser University, and the URL is www.sfu.ca/TildeWesterka. So it's WESTERKA/. Ms. Westerkamp is involved with the World Forum for Acoustic Ecology as well as the Canadian Association for Sound Ecology, or CASE. A recent project presented by CASE is the Audio Postcards Canada exhibit, which is a curated exhibit of sounds from across Canada and reflections on those sounds. In the About section of the Audio Postcards website, it states that with this project, CASE invites heightened listening awareness through multiple means: the use of the microphone, the sense of place, the audio narrative, and the also artistic expression. The online exhibit features 16 pieces which you can listen to at audiopostcards.soundecology.ca. I appreciate the permission granted by CASE to allow me to share some of these audio postcards with you. So we're first going to listen to an excerpt of an interview with Hildegard Westerkamp about the Audio Postcards exhibit.
Welcome to Audio Postcards Canada. My name is Carmen Braden, and I am the project lead for the Audio Postcards exhibit. The full online exhibit launches on World Listening Day, July 18, 2016, and is curated by the Canadian Association for Sound Ecology under the direction of CASE Chair Andrea Dancer. Just like postcards sent through the mail, audio postcards are short explorations and celebrations of places, except these postcards explore and celebrate the sounds, not the sights, of a place. Audio Postcards Canada is a curated exhibit of sound art from across Canada and reflections on these sounds. With this project, CASE invites heightened listening awareness through multiple means: the use of a microphone, the sense of place, the audio narrative, and also artistic expression. CASE envisioned this project to engage with new listeners and audio artists. In the summer of 2015, CASE put out an international call for audio postcard creations with two limitations: a maximum time of 2 minutes in length, and all sounds had to be made or captured in Canada. case received 87 eclectic works from across the country, each a miniature view into part of the Canadian soundscape. To select a smaller number of works, three established audio artists and researchers were invited to be jurors: Tyler Kinnear, Charlie Fox, and Stephanie Lovelace. These three sets of ears chose 16 audio postcards to feature in the exhibit. The Canadian Association for Sound Ecology received a grant from the Canada Council for the Arts to present these works, and the Board of CASE worked together to build the online exhibit.
Like the original picture postcards, the audio postcards present us with a clear frame, a theme, a limited time involvement of 2 minutes, a specific place or situation. Our ears are not in danger of getting lost in unknown and possibly endless journeys that might disorient us. Also, like the picture postcards, they want to share with the recipient listener special moments in life, connect us to concrete places in Canada, highlight significant sonic experiences, and want to elicit a sense of inspiration and curiosity, indeed, a liberating perceptual opening towards the environment.
I'm Andrea Dantzer, the curator of Audio Postcards Canada, and I'm here with Hildegard Westerkamp, who is reading excerpts from her introduction to the project.
In a corporate world dominated by the monetization of time and a 24/7 hectic pursuit of life, a project such as Audio Postcards Canada carries a deeper significance than might initially be apparent. Perhaps you will be able to follow my suggestion or my invitation to slow down for a moment, breathe deeply, and make time for listening. It offers a rare opportunity for a change of pace and for creatively reversing the numbing of our senses that tends to result from a 24/7 lifestyle. It also encourages us to focus our listening on sonic details which speak out strongly and with a difference. These audio postcards highlight sounds and soundscapes that may not be noticed in the habitual flow of daily life, especially if such a daily life is also perpetually overloaded with sound, noise, and music, and lacks times of silence and repose.
Hildy, you're talking about the sped-up, hectic world where everything is in a short attention span. And ironically, these are short 1 to 2 minute audio pieces. What was your thinking when you were first approached with the idea of the audio postcard?
It's a good question. You asked me to write an introduction for this project, and my first reaction was sort of like, I don't really like these kinds of short pieces that have become a bit fashionable. There are a lot of competitions or invitations for 1 minute pieces, 30 second pieces, 2 minute, 3 minute pieces. And from my experience as a soundscape composer, and also the experience with working with Murray Schaefer and the World Soundscape Project, one of the things that we used to do is just listen for long times to the environment, immerse ourselves into the soundscapes. In other words, long stretches of time became a really important thing to experience. Very special to give yourself time to listen to the environment like that. And of course, sound walks do exactly that. They invite you to listen for longer times. And the point is that the longer you listen, the more you get immersed. So thinking of 2 minute audio postcards from a vast country like Canada seemed I don't know, I can't find the word. I just found it rather ironic, yes, and contradictory. And I really had to bring my mind into a positive mind space for listening to these and thinking, okay, here are people who have, we had, what was it, 80 submissions or something, mm-hmm. who spent all this time going out recording and then trying to reduce those or compose these recordings they made into these little small jewels of sound. So I was thinking more of the process of recording and really wanted to honor that. And as I then was writing the introductions, I realized, okay, this is for the internet, it's perhaps something that is totally appropriate for this medium in which this online exhibition is going to be happening. And the listener will bring his or her own listening interests and skills into it. And so I suddenly, and then I began to listen to the pieces after all these thoughts and became completely enthusiastic about what they had done and really was immersed into the process of what people wanted to say about the soundscape that they were recording, about the place, about the history, about the whole context, or about the recording experience itself. So the pieces that were selected, all of them, are really giving a strong sense of that intense experience of getting involved with the soundscape and the recording of it, and then with presenting it in 2 minutes. In the end, to me, it suddenly didn't matter anymore how long it was. I feel that all the contributors did a marvelous job in extracting a tiny little snippet of Canada. And indeed, some of them are truly Canada, right? And mm-hmm. combined, the 16s together combined, give us a sense of the country and the locations from where these came. So I was kind of happy in the end that you challenged me to write the introduction for this project, because it became an involved project in itself for everybody.
To be getting closer.
Mm-hmm. You think they are or not?
Yeah.
They are coming.
Oh yeah, this is it, you guys.
Look. Oh my God.
So this first audio postcard that we'll listen to is called Beach Rub, and it's by a songwriter and multi-instrumentalist, writer and sound enthusiast, and instructor by the name of Leah Abramson. And Ms. Abramson's statement about the piece is really interesting. She writes, "The audio for this postcard was recorded over 12 days on the beach at Bear Point in July 2015. I went there daily attempting to catch sight of the northern resident killer whales that come to rub their bellies on the pebble shoreline. Beach rubbing is a rare behavior unique to this particular population of orcas, and Bear Point has one of the few rubbing beaches in the world.
Orcas, like most whales, use sound to communicate, hunt, and navigate. In the ocean, in an ocean increasingly polluted by the noise of marine traffic, Bear Point is an oasis of quiet. Each morning, sometimes as early as 5 a.m., I carried my audio recorder and supplies to the beach, recording in all kinds of weather. When it rained, I took shelter in an observation camp set up by Friends of the Wild Side, a volunteer organization that collects data on the whales for use in conservation efforts. The camp's hydrophone is featured at the end of the piece, recorded through a speaker. For 11 days, I did not see any orcas. On the 12th day, I was lucky enough to record 9 orcas rubbing on the beach for about 20 minutes. As I watched from the surface, I saw and heard them only when they came up to breathe. On the shore, humans took pictures and whispered to each other while the ocean churned and bubbled from underneath. During the beach rub, the hydrophone recorded only the sound of orca vocalizations, waves, and the friction of giant orca bodies against the rocks. In the layering of underwater recordings with the terrestrial soundscape, my postcard allows listeners to transcend the limitations of habitat and intimately witness an increasingly rare natural phenomenon.
They seem to be getting closer.
Mm-hmm. You think they are from around?
Yeah.
They are coming.
Oh, yeah, this is it, you guys.
Look. Oh my God.
This next one's called Long Beach's Binaural, and it's by a Toronto-based producer and sound artist named Michael Trommer. And his statement is, this postcard consists of an untreated binaural field recording made on the shores of Toronto's Lake Ontario during an extremely hot summer day. I have always been fascinated by the sonic characteristics of the liminal areas lying between urban and natural environments. City shorelines mark a particularly dramatic demarcation between a densely populated, constructed landscape and a void. Such specific recording locations tend to be revisited many times over the course of several seasons and years. As such, a catalog of the acoustic changes a space undergoes is developed, revealing variations that arise due to urban development, change of season, weather, time of day, week, etc. In this instance, I was particularly fascinated by the manner in which the atmospheric conditions, which were hot, hazy, and humid at the time, affected the propagation of distant environmental sounds, airplanes, boats, voices, or other. Several recordings were made at similar times on 2 consecutive days at different locations along Toronto's waterfront. The recording in question was made at Toronto's East End Beaches Boardwalk at 3:30 p.m. on September 2nd, 2015.
Thank you.
And now we're going to hear a piece entitled Missing Soffits by Konstantin Katsiris, who is a composer of experimental electronic music and a conductor of field recording expeditions around the world. And his statement is, "My piece for the Audio Postcards exhibition is a field recording from Day's Beach, situated on the east side of Jackfish Lake in central Saskatchewan. This location was where our family would take summer holidays when I was growing up, close to a provincial park and two bird sanctuaries. I was visiting my parents a few years ago, and on one particularly windy afternoon, there was an unusual periodic humming sound inside of their house. I discovered that the gusts coming across the lake were entering the roof structure of the building through the holes where the soffits were missing, apparently torn off during a previous storm. Effectively, the structure of the house acted as an instrument for the air currents, creating an aleatoric composition of sorts, waves lapping on the shore, and the wind as it blew through the leaves of nearby trees can also be heard in the soundscape." Next, we'll hear a piece called Missisaji Rocks by Robert Bidding, who is an artist, composer, and teacher who lives in Cincinnati, Ohio. And his statement is, "The natural soundscape is rich with color and nuance beyond imagination. It is from this sonic meta-world that I draw inspiration for my projects. My motivation for composing music stems from an insatiable love of sound and the nature of sound itself." Missisaji Rocks is an oral portrait of a unique sound mark on the west end of Manitoulin Island on Lake Huron in Ontario, Canada. This rock outcropping, part of the Canadian Shield Formation, is the witness of many shipwrecks on the Missisaji Strait. I was drawn to the echoing sound of the waves, whose action carved the very fissures and hollows in the rock outcropping that produced this unique ambiance. The Missisaji Rocks are rich in history and legend. Purportedly, they are the resting place of the 1679 wreck of La Salle's Griffin, the first European vessel to sail the Great Lakes. This windswept landscape, witness to natural violence and human suffering, is to me a resonant intersection of soundscape and landscape, underscoring the rich cultural history of Manitoulin Island. Thank you. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties and at Wave Farm Radio at wavefarm.org. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas. So I encourage you to go and listen to the other artists' recordings at Audio Postcard Canada. They're really an interesting soundscape sampling of sounds from across Canada. And now we're going to turn our attention closer to home. Here in Columbia Greene Counties in the Hudson Valley, WGXC mobile studio manager Max Goldfarb has been providing opportunities for people to create their own environmental sound pieces. And I'm excited to be able to share some of the work produced from the Radio from the Field workshop that took place this summer in Chatham. And this particular workshop took place at Borden's Pond in Chatham, and it was offered in collaboration with the Chatham Public Library and Columbia Land Conservancy. And participants spent time in the field doing field recordings of both human and environmental sounds, and then they edited their recordings into sound art pieces. So we're going to start out with an excerpt from an introduction to Borden's Pond that was provided by John Horton from Columbia Land Conservancy and was produced by Miles Goldfarb.
All right. Hi, everybody. My name is John Horton. I work with the Columbia Land Conservancy. You are at Borden's Pond, which is one of our 10 publicly owned and managed public conservation areas spread out throughout Columbia County. So I'll talk a little bit about Borden's Pond. So when you guys look out at this field, I mean, what do you see? Like, it's forest, it's meadowland. Can you imagine what this place looked like maybe 100 years ago? If you had to guess, what would you say this place looked like 100 years ago? All trees? Anyone else?
This is the old pond here.
Well, those are close, but they're actually, this land was all meadowland, and it was used for farming. And Borden's Pond got its name from a dairy company in the 1920s called Borden's Dairy Farm. And basically, the dairy farm dammed up the streams here and created Borden's Pond. And what they would do with the pond is over the winter, they would let the pond freeze over, and then they would hand cut the ice blocks out of the pond and use horses to bring it back to the dairy farm to keep their dairy cool. So what you see, all of this is pretty much new forest. Most of the trees here are really old oak and maple trees, and those have sort of stood the test of time. They've been here the longest. So the forest has grown over the last 100 years and in what's called succession, where pond turns into swampland, the swampland grows back into forests, and new forests are born. So back to the pond, which I'm sure some of you know, there is no pond here anymore. The dam that the dairy farm built in the 1920s collapsed a year after we had this land transferred over to the Land Conservancy. So after the dam broke in 2005, the pond drained, and what you see now is swampland, meadowland. Streams and forests are what make up most of this preserve. And that's pretty much the overview of the site. Does anyone have any questions?
Next, we're going to hear a piece by Wayne Kircher. And this next recording is by Alexis Russell. Next, we'll hear a piece by John Horton. And this next one is by John Scott Legg.
What shall I do with this hour, so like time and yet so fit for eternity? The eaves are running on the south side of the house, the titmouse lisps in the poplar, the bells are ringing for church. While the sun presides on the wall and makes us and makes warmth and more obvious than all else. What shall I do?
What shall I do with so like time, so fit for eternity?
Where in me are these
russet patches of ground?
Where in me are these ruts? Where in me are these russet patches of ground and scattered logs and chips in the yard? I do not feel cluttered. I have some notion what the Johnswort and the life everlasting may be thinking about when the sun shines on me as on them, and turns my prompt thought into some notion what the Johnswort and the life everlasting may be thinking about when the sun shines on me as on them. I have some notion what the Johnswort and life everlasting may be thinking about when the sun shines on me as on them, and turns my prompt thought into just such a seething shimmer. I lie out indistinct as a heath at noonday. I am evaporating and ascending into the sun. I lie out indistinct. I lie out indistinct as a heath at noonday. I am evaporating and ascending into the sun.
And this last piece that we'll listen to today is by Rafi Karpowitz. So again, thanks to all of the folks who participated in radio from the field, and to Max Goldfarb for allowing me to play these recordings on the broadcast today. And I believe there's going to be more opportunities to participate in radio from the field if you'd like to make your own sound recordings, and you could then submit them to Echolocation for air on WGXC and Wave Farm Radio. I've got one more perspective on catching waves for you this evening, and that is the study of cymatics, the vibrations of sound. You can sprinkle dust over a vibrating plate and observe the patterns created by the sound waves. Cymatics has been a field of study since the 17th century, and it is amazing to see the patterns that sound creates. A pair of artists, Jeff Louvre and Vanessa Brown, have created a work called Resonatia, in which they took photographs of the patterns made by individual notes and are sharing them in what they are terming sonic sculpture. You can read an article about it at the Echolocation Facebook page or visit the Resonatia website at louvreandvanessa.com. We're almost out of time for this summer broadcast, so I'd like to thank you for listening and give special thanks to WGXC and Wave Farm for airing this show. I'd also like to thank Hildegard Westerkamp, the Canadian Association for Acoustic Ecology, Max Goldfarb, Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Macaulay Library, and the artists who shared their work on the show, and of course, River Dolphins. So don't forget to check in on us at Facebook, Echolocation WGXC. And we're going to go out tonight with a song by Brian Eno, John Hopkins, and Leo Abrams called Small Craft on a Milk Sea. and then we'll check in on the underwater sounds recorded by artist Zach Poff's pond station at the Wave Farm. The pond station has a floating hydrophone that listens in on the submerged world, capturing sound waves underwater. Thanks for joining me on this oral adventure.